LTD Board of Finance Committee meeting together, to order. Roll call. I'm here. Mr. Necker?
I'm here.
Mr. Yeh?
Here.
Great. Thank you. Approval of the meeting minutes of April 9th. You've all studied those and prepared for a test on those, are you?
Well, I have read them. I don't know if I'm prepared for a test, but I move they be approved as presented.
I will second that.
Oh, we've got a motion to approve and second. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none. All those in favor of approval of the meeting minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 And I must make a note that all three of us were here last time. This is twice in a row.
Oh, my goodness. This is incredible. Thank you. All right. So, first item, contract amendment for the fleet maintenance building. Joe, that's probably why you're sitting there.
It is. Yeah, I thought it'd be fair. Thanks for your time this afternoon. The picture behind me is actually a plaque that we put on the finished building, just acknowledging the board of directors and the reason we're here, and that division is here, and for the long term, taking care of LTD's investment over time. So I thought that was important for the team to acknowledge and understand. Today we're asking the board or the finance committee to recommend to the board to approve a final change order to the construction of the bus yard expansion and facilities building in the amount of $57,024. We're in the project closeout phase right now, and this change order represents one of our final tasks to complete the project with the object to get it done by this fiscal year. The milestones for the project, if you recall, we started construction back in late spring of 17. Our first milestone was to get the bus yard completely revamped. So a whole new procedure of how we service the buses was put into place, and we met that milestone last September. Our next milestone for the project was completing the building and getting it ready for facility maintenance staff and for business services staff to move in, which we've done. And the third phase of that project, if you want to look at it that way, is the commissioning of the wireless system, the network in the bus yard. And those previous components needed to be in place before we finalize that last part of the project. So the project's done. We're just in the process of cleaning up our books and getting this change order for the contract taken care of. So here's a expenditure for the project over the course of the two fiscal years that we worked on it, including the change order that we're asking for you to recommend for approval today. We expect to underrun the budget by a little bit more than $50,000. So just coming in under here of our chin there. And I'm throwing a bunch of numbers at you and expecting you to digest it in 20 seconds. But what's going on here is the total expenditure line. You can see where we anticipate being at, and then the project total for both fiscal years, and then the allocated amount that was approved in the budget, and then the under portion at the bottom. Any questions about how I'm displaying the numbers?
Comments,
there?
Questions?
That makes sense.
Do we not have?
It's in your packet. It's right after the minutes. Let me show it to you.
Well, you don't have that in your.
That isn't in your packet.
That isn't in
your. I just wanted to
this
show
is
you.
What he was talking about specifically.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I just wanted to show you that we did well on the budget. Would have liked to have been leaving a little bit more under just to be comfortable, but we came to this right up underneath the budget. This project.
Any additional comments or questions? I did ask them why this was coming before the Finance Committee, and the rationale, which I think is good, is the total change orders for the project were over $150,000. And so I understand that, because my initial reaction was 55,000 or 57 just doesn't trigger that, but they're looking at it as the total change order for that project.
Right.
So I think that, yeah, so that is, that's the only question I had.
Right, yeah, so this demonstrates Gary's point. We had a couple change orders prior to this, and then as soon as we get this last change order, that bumped us over that threshold, so we wanted to bring that to you to be transparent and make sure that you're okay with us moving forward with that. So this final change order is comprised of construction issues related to the occupancy of the building and the completion of the wireless network. Costs associated with the wireless infrastructure weren't included in the base contract and ended up being accounted for in a couple of the change orders. And I pulled out just costs associated with that wireless network. Those are the red numbers. If that makes sense, mm-hmm. those two change orders, those were costs mm-hmm. associated with the wireless infrastructure. Most of the costs related to the wireless infrastructure were planned for in the overall budget, but those details did not get included in the original. And Gary and I were talking about this. They didn't get included in the original bid package, but were worked out during the course of construction.
Your pleasure.
Oh, I would like to move to forward contract amendment 2017-23 with Chambers Construction to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any additional questions or comments? I'd just like to say it's kind of nice to hear when a project comes in under the original budget.
I'll second that.
That's wonderful. So those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay. Passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we want to talk about the cat. Ernie. At least your name's on the prepared by, so we blame the prepared by.
So I need resolution. Okay, so this is a proposal for a contract approval for some CAT C9 rebuild kits that are currently, these engines are in our 2006-2007 New Flyer vehicles, and they've reached the end of their usable life.
So which vehicles are we talking about?
These would be
about?
The 60-foot New Flyer buses. There's 6 of the 2006 model and 5 of the 2007
74
model.
774 or 700 series?
No, these are a 6100 series and a 7100 series, yes.
Okay.
So they've reached the end of their usable life.
So these are our ticks.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've actually had one engine failure already. So we still have 10 that need to have engine kits replaced on them before we have any more failures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main reason for having this contract proposal. So we can, yes?
Oh, my ignorance is I don't really understand what an engine kit is.
It pertains to the replacement reconditioned head and then the cylinder kits, which includes the piston, the rocker arm, and the cylinder liner.
So they just bearings. A bunch of parts that you have.
Yeah, it's basically
per.
They...
Good, I speak the same
language.
They kind of call it, consider it an in-frame overhaul, so the engine is reconditioned in the vehicle.
So that they're the... If, I'm guessing they're the parts that most likely go out in the engine.
Yeah, it's the internal workings of the... internal combustion engine, yes.
Any other questions? This is a fairly common process is done with diesel, large diesel engines in frames.
Yeah, the 2006 vehicles are our first MX vehicles, so those engines actually are probably under more stress than the 2007 vehicles just because of the type of service they're running.
Mm-hmm. How many miles on those rigs?
They're approaching about 350,000 to 400,000 miles.
That's not bad.
Actually, I think the 06s are probably getting closer to 500,000 miles.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, they've actually
to get that many dependable. Before you do an in-frame because in my experience, it was like 350 to 4 is when you did the in-frame.
And these are actually coupled with the Allison hybrid drive systems, too.
So you got the automatic transmission.
So the engine doesn't work quite as hard as it would in this conventional configuration.
Yeah, interesting. Any questions or comments? I do have a question.
Yes.
And that is, when I looked at all of the folks that quoted on this, I don't see Caterpillar. Why?
I think it's because they have not been in the on-highway market for quite a few years, so they don't really deal with on-highway engines as much as they used to. Back in 2010, the EPA standards for emissions rose, and CAT chose not to offer an on-highway engine to meet those emission standards.
But these are CAT engines.
Yes, they are.
So they don't, they aren't furnishing parts for their own engines?
Well, it's very hard to
No, it's just, procure. It, that's the thing that really jumped out at me, because I've dealt with CAT a lot.
Yes.
And so for me, I'm going, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, it is.
Because I just, you know, Cummins, I thought, you know, it's Cummins, good.
Yeah, it's really kind of an anomaly. Yeah.
That really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because I know that, that's why I, the, this Interdell, I assume that's an outfit that is a parts maker.
No, you're...
Yeah, two different.
That's a different
that's
proposal.
That's the ESS system, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Help me. I'm sitting here. Okay, I'm looking at this, and I was evaluating it based on this.
There's two different proposals.
This is just
for the CAT C9.
But what we gave you was we sent out a solicitation for every part all together just to see if we could get one provider for everything. And then each of these just... bid on the parts that they could provide, which is why we gave you the whole breakdown of the solicitation package as it came back in.
So some of these are rocker arms, some of these are sleeves, some of these are pistons.
It pertains to our hybrid fleet. So the solicitation that we sent out was to update our hybrid fleet. It pertains to that.
So yeah. See, one part of it is just taking care of the engine side. The other part is taking care of the energy storage system.
Yeah.
So that's why there's two different solicitations being proposed.
Contracts.
By the way, this is Rebecca Hayes. She's our materials management supervisor.
Okay. When you say you solicit, how do you solicit?
We release, everything goes through our eBid procurement portal. And just depending on what it is, we may advertise in trade magazines, we may advertise in the local paper. It just depends on what it is that we're soliciting.
Okay.
Or invite. Solicit is another way to say invite.
Right. No, I understand. Having done a lot of inviting.
Yeah.
I'm a bulldog on making sure that everybody I think might be interested is contacted. And not being, you know, being a little digitally challenged, I don't depend on digital as much as I think maybe we do today.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to make sure that we have the best opportunity for the most people to have a shot at providing us our best price.
Yeah, it was advertised in the Register Guard and Transit Talent.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
In addition, if we start looking at, because the system that we have allows us to look at the activity. So if there's someone that we say, okay, surely these people should have gone in by now and downloaded documents or contacted us or whatever, then we're going to reach out to them directly if we have their contact information just to say, hey, salesperson, did you see this notification? Just to make sure that we've got everybody in the loop that needs to be in the loop.
I like a little bird dog in the purchasing area. That's good. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
Okay. One of the things I do want to add is, so the best time to contact potential bidders is well before we have anything for them to bid on. So anytime that we go is is saying, are you a registered vendor for LTD? Oh, no, I'm not. You know, we'll send you the link. Because you don't know what they're interested in. You can't just assume correct. They're going to be interested or that's that right. they have some partnership with somebody else. So anytime that we may contact, the most important thing we can ask them is, are you already? Because people solicit us all the time. And one of the things that I use Kalina standard instructing them on how to become a vendor. Because I may not need it today, but I may need it a year. And sure. I'm not going to remember your name or what I did with your business card or just sign up.
Yep.
Sign up. Yeah.
Great. That's wonderful. Because that's in the best interest of LTD.
Right.
Great. Okay, those are my questions. Anybody? Okay.
Well, I'd like to move forward with the contract with Gillig LLC for the purchase of 11 CAT C9 rebuild entering kits plus cores to the board of directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay. Great. I assume this next one is okay. This is your energy.
Yes.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah. This is pertaining to the energy storage systems that are on about half of our fleet now that have Allison diesel hybrid. And so the same scenario is happening with those. The expected life on these energy storage systems originally was touted by Allison to maybe be an 8 to 10 year lifespan. We've already surpassed that already with our oldest hybrid vehicles. We've had one failure of an ESS system about a year ago on our oldest vehicle. And we currently have a vehicle I found out just a little bit ago that possibly might be failing on a 2010 Newflyer bus. So this is why we're pursuing this contract with replacement energy storage systems.
Now, does this contract apply to both MXs and the hybrids?
This is for any of our Allison hybrid propulsion systems, yes.
And the new ones, the blue buses?
The blue ones do not have an Allison hybrid propulsion system.
Okay.
So, no, it doesn't cover those. These are just for Allison. So which we have, I think, about 40, almost 45 vehicles.
The 7,000s, 7?
Yeah, the 6,100s, 7,100s, 9,100s, and 1,000. Yeah, there's quite a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it on the table that we provided.
Carl? Oh, I just want to clarify. So these energy storage systems, these are the batteries then?
Yeah, and the original ones that are in there now are a nickel metal hydride system. This Interdel system is a lithium ion battery system. It's a drop-in unit that's approved by Allison. In fact, Allison uses these units now when they put together their package because they decided that the system was... It's just a lot more reliable. I think it's about 7 times the energy storage of the nickel metal hydride system. So they're quite substantially improved. The cost of them is actually a little less than a replacement, a direct replacement ESS system.
And I imagine also. They're lighter too than the nickel metal hydride.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to dispose of the old battery systems as well.
And what is the estimated lifespan on the new ones?
I don't know if I've really read their expectancy, but I'm assuming it's probably going to be higher, at least probably, I would think, 10 years.
Okay.
We've been really fortunate that we've gotten the life out of ours, and we have.
Yeah.
We're running buses that are almost 12 years old now with the original energy storage systems on there, so... We're starting to see some degradation that's occurring, a couple failures.
Mm-hmm. And I assume the software automatically detects what battery it is and then acts accordingly?
Yeah, the current software that's on the vehicles, it actually monitors the battery states of charge on each individual cell. Mm-hmm. So if it shows a certain variance, it'll throw a fault code and let you know that there's a problem and you have to do some more research and find out where the variances are coming from.
Well, I think that's great there's additional capacity because I think you're going to see a lot more efficiency as a result.
I would think so too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. Those are good questions. I assume then that the 61 and the 7100 series have worked out pretty well for us. They've served
the
LTD well.
The storage systems have done extremely well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the engines, I'm impressed with what you did on the engines. That's pretty darn good.
Actually, the CAT C9 engines perform better than the Cummins engines have.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right.
I move to forward the contract with Energy Dell Energy Storage Systems to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second. I have one more question.
Sure.
Is this applied to replacing them on all the buses at once?
No. No, this is on as needed. No. This is a major component.
This is over a term of, what was the term?
It's a five-year.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. That answers my question.
Yeah. They're not going to go do it tomorrow. They're going to do
it. Unless
you
got an extra few million dollars.
Sure.
but this is kind of, they expect that within the next 5 years that we'll do all of them.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, all 11. Could be a majority, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And so you got people that are willing to stand up for that period. They're willing to give you that, say that price is good for 5 years.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, it's 1 year renewable.
Yeah. Renewable.
For 5 years, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Ernie.
Yeah.
You feeling better?
A little bit.
You got a hold of some bad wine, did you? No, he wasn't doing too good last week. Okay, this is Mark.
All right. So
contract amendment.
We're asking for a contract amendment for Partner Solutions IT. So a couple months ago, our IT staff brought to us that they were concerned about the state of our IT infrastructure. So we did a solicitation and hired Partner Solutions IT to come in and do an immediate assessment of the risks and critical issues with our IT infrastructure. So they did that, and the next step was to put a plan together and a cost to actually come in and do what needs to be done to fix the critical and most important issues.
Does this assessment include facility and buses?
No, this is just IT. This is just information technology, our computer network, our computer
but
systems.
But the buses are on computers, are they?
Yeah, that's separate.
That's separate, okay.
Yeah, this is
okay.
Really the
internal
infrastructure, yeah. So, they did that, they came in and said, okay, yeah, you know, there's a lot of issues, here's what you can do if you get it. And the contract was not to exceed $115,000 for them to come in and do everything. Now, we have since got together with staff and have another plan that won't cost us nearly as much, we think. But we think it's important to have this because there's some long-term thing going on with our network, that having a local firm that's available and that we have a contract in place where in critical instances we can bring them in and fix our systems, then that's important. So that's why we want to keep this contract at that level.
From the procurement standpoint, they'll end up going on a job task order type contract. So as with their initial plan, we'll authorize them up to whatever the initial plan staff comes to, but not to exceed this 115. And then if there's subsequent like supportive staff and that type of thing, as opposed to us every single time having to come back to the board for authorization, we looked at the whole risk assessment that they did and the cost that they applied to that, and are asking for authorization to that. So we wouldn't exceed this 115.
The cost estimate is under that.
The actual cost estimate is for the entire risk assessment was for the 115. However, staff having come in and looked at that and made a determination as to what they believe were critical things and what they could take on themselves as staff. So as opposed to this contractor performing these services, these are things that, and I'll say as Albert explained it, our staff can do the thing where you push the button, wait for it to update and come back 20 minutes and push the button again to wait for another update. He didn't want to pay a contractor to do that. What they wanted to pay the contractor to do was some of the very important things that our staff doesn't currently have the bandwidth to do because they're taking care of our everyday operations. And so that's what's pared it down.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Not really. I guess my comment sounds pretty necessary. So.
Well, this is a really tough area from the standpoint that the movement in the area of technology, I mean, it just grows so darn fast and so darn many things are going on and whatnot. And how do you keep staff trained at that level? What, do you got half your staff in training all the time? I mean, that's almost what you get yourself into. So it's maybe better to have a local expert that can help you out on things you may not be. That's why I'm sitting here going, this is probably a pretty good idea.
We've got a lot of very old systems, and we're running some 2003 servers, for instance, that you know, have been patched and patched and still need patches and that aren't even wow. supported to a certain degree. So I mean, there's just a lot of work on some of the older systems. We need to keep them in place because of other software systems
that you're running
on it, you know. So it's a pretty complex system, but it is important that we stay up on the security patches and the critical things that keep the system stable. So.
I could have misunderstood earlier. It didn't sound like there was a skill issue. It's just it's a time issue. There's just not enough staff to be able to
I think it's okay. So part of the overall assessment will be a evaluation of staff skills and the need and internal needs. And so coming out of it, we'll have a really good understanding of, you know, what we have, what we need, and where the gaps are.
And what training is required will be part of that assessment?
Well, not specifically the training piece, but the gap, we'll know the gaps.
Okay, so like whether you need more people or not in the future.
Any other questions, comments?
Okay. I'd like to move to forward the contract amendment with Partnered Solutions IT for the implementation of Task 2 of the IT assessment to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, nay? Hearing none. Passed unanimously. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Oh, Cosette.
All right, I have two contracts that I'm bringing before you today. And first, I want to introduce John Allen, who is the contract and program manager for both of these. So the first one is the Oak Ridge Diamond Express and the Oak Ridge Dial-A-Ride. It's a single contract. This is a service that's been being provided for many, many years. This is a service that operates four trips between Oak Ridge and Eugene. On weekdays. It's a critical service. Oak Ridge is low income and economically very depressed, and they depend on this service for connections to education, to work, to services in the Eugene and Springfield areas. So that's our first contract. We went out for a full procurement, so it was a competitive procurement. Pacific Crest Bus Lines was found to be the best selection for the contractor for this. We're currently contracting with Pacific Crest Bus Lines. They stepped in to provide a 10-month kind of gap service when special mobility services did not get the call center operations contract. It was kind of all lumped into one. So we separated those two. So the call center operations went to MTM. SMS declined then to continue to provide the Oak Ridge service. So we went out and did a contract process for that, and Pacific Crest Bus Line won that contract. So they're currently providing the service, and so there would be no transition as far as a provider goes. And we've been very happy with Pacific Crest Bus Lines. We currently carry about, currently provide about 1,100 trips a month on this service. And it's both Diamond Express, which is between Eugene and Springfield and Oak Ridge. And then we also, two times a week, for 2 hours each day, we provide a dial-a-ride within Oak Ridge. And that primarily links people to the meal site there within Oak Ridge. The funding for this is primarily through the state. So we have special transportation fund dollars. And then we also have Intercity Transit Network Grant, which used to be called the 5311F Intercity Funding. It's not all 5311F anymore, so they renamed the grant. It's a two-year biennial funding. So what we're doing is we're going to have a one-year base contract, and that gets us onto our biennial cycle. And then we have the opportunity to renew for two-year extensions for a total of a five-year contract.
So this means that there's nothing coming out of the general fund for this?
Correct.
Okay.
That's your one question, huh?
I'd like to know where the money's coming from. Show me the money. Show me the money.
Okay, I move to forward the contract with Pacific Crest Bus Lines for the operation of Diamond Express transportation service between Oak Ridge and the metro area, and dial-a-ride service in Oak Ridge, to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. The motion for approval, any other further questions or comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any negatives? None. So passes. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So our second service is the Florence Rodeo Express. Again, we've been contracting to provide this service for many years. This also is on a biennial cycle, and this is for a one-year base contract with the opportunity to extend for up to 2 years, again, getting it back on that regular biennial cycle. The successful contractor, successful bidder, was River Cities Taxi, which is the current provider. And we're very happy with the service that they provide. Incidentally, they also were a successful bidder for the Yahats Florence service that we're going to be operating, the pilot project. So it's going to provide a nice kind of continuity of service. So in...
What kind of vehicle is Yahats run? Is that a...
So it's a cutaway.
16-passenger...
We're purchasing a cutaway really similar to what we're using. Again, it's a pilot program, so
I understand.
Yeah, so we didn't want to purchase a vehicle that wouldn't fit in with
40-footer or anything. Yeah. Right, I understand.
Yeah. So River City Taxi, again, was a successful bidder. The Rodeo Express is eight trips, hourly trips, and it's a circulator within the city of Florence. And it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. It carries about 700 trips a month, and very similar to the Diamond Express, it does not include any general fund dollars. Mm-hmm. The funding is the Special Transportation Fund primarily, and the Intercity Transit Network Grant. And then we also, that's a different one, sorry.
City of Florence puts in a little bit.
Florence puts in, I think, about $30,000.
Yeah, 32, it says here.
Mm-hmm. Questions, comments?
So I do encourage you, if you're over in Florence, to check the service out. It's a nice little service.
I move to forward the contract with Kuhn Investments, also known as River City Taxi, to operate the Road Express transportation service in the city of Florence to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I was seconded, sorry.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we forward this for approval. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Aye. None.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything else to come before us?
That's fast.
Yeah, we have one more contract approval for legal services.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's this one. Okay.
The only one is part of our original packet.
Not the one with Dwight.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, man.
Well, he's here, so we can ask lots of pointed questions.
That's right. Oh, right. Oh, great.
He makes one phone call but talks to two employees how much does he charge?
No, you know, question.
There's there used to be a standard procedure that when you called an attorney, the question was, what time is it by your watch? Anyway, okay, let's go ahead.
Okay. This contract approval is for, it's a sole source for the 1 year based on the fact that we still have many items that Thorpe Purdy is utilizing for us just to not to have the duplication of effort or even cost to go out to solicit for legal services at this time. We are proposing that we enter into a one-year contract with Thorpe Purdy so that we can resolve some of those things. And in addition, those are outlined here under procurement impact. Some of the ongoing litigation with the MX and those things, we just felt that it would be more prudent to retain our or continue our contract with Thorpe Purdy at least for another year, which gives us the time to bring resolution to those items as well as then solicit for further services. If you look at what we spent on average for the past 3 years, it's been about $95,000 a year for a total of $286,000, or you could round up to $290,000 over the past 3 years. We're estimating for the next fiscal year that we'd spend about just over $100,000 for these services.
And I'm sorry, I might have missed it. How frequent are, what are our terms of our regular contract? Is it like a three-year contract?
So that contract was based on every 2 years, I believe. So then it was being, and so I think it was for a total of seven. Am I recalling that right?
I think.
No, it was it just.
I thought it was six, the first 3 years plus
two years. Two, yes.
So I guess
okay,
it was
so
seven.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Then it goes to RFP, and then we could do a similar contract again.
Correct. I mean, just to put this before the Finance Committee, we are looking into the way that some public agencies in Oregon do, where you have certain professional services that you call out, or personal services, as the Oregon Revised Statute calls it, that you say don't have to be competed.
That's right.
Primarily because they depend on relationship for the most part. And so there are things like legal services, our accounting or auditing services.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through that process a little bit later to exempt us from having to solicit those services. And that's primarily because we typically use general fund to pay for those as opposed to federal dollars. Always, if there are federal dollars involved, we would have to competitively bid them.
Right.
Makes sense to me to an extent.
Any questions?
No.
Yeah. There's a lot of knowledge in that firm.
Yes.
And if that knowledge wasn't available, anyone else would have to do a whole lot of research.
That's right.
To bring themselves up to speed at so much an hour. And yeah. So there's a definite reason that you have architects. You have, you know, legal services.
You're just
services.
Saying that to impress Dwight.
There's a lot of things. Now, I have gotten some questions from Dwight. So there's a lot of reasons. And that's one of the reasons that the CMGC process, you can negotiate those, because they look at that as having that level of experience and whatnot to facilitate the owner, and it needs to be something that's beneficial to the owner. What I was thinking about on Dwight specifically is in the past 3 years, is you played a pretty significant role in the negotiation in working with our general manager, and we're not planning on having that happen again in the very near future. Are there other, is a lot of this the property acquisition issue over on the MX of the 286? I'm trying to figure out where's the larger dollars of that specifically, because I'm thinking that isn't going to be, hopefully not occur anymore.
Right. Initially, we were doing a lot of stuff with procurement, and we had the audit, and then we had the West Virginia EM Act, which is, there's still a tail on that
there is.
We're working with. Damn. But there's other projects like the River Road project and some of those projects as well.
That's a long ways from being resolved.
There are ongoing matters, but I think I agree with you that we certainly spent a lot more time early on than I would have anticipated going down the road that we have.
Okay, that's where I'm coming from.
Keep the general manager here, but yeah, there have been a lot of changes, yep. And some of that, you know, starting to smooth out, and we have a lot of systems in place, and so I would expect that number.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of my sense too, so that's why I just thought I might talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, we like to keep AJ pretty happy.
Any other comments, questions?
Not for me. I'd like to move forward to, I move to forward contract number 2018-19, Thorpe Purdy, Jewett, Ernest, and Wilkinson, PC, to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion, questions? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, nay? Okay. Passed unanimously. Anything else to come before the Finance Committee? Want to throw something in just in case? No, I'm kidding. Not hearing anything? We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Nice job.
When we do the agenda, we'll need to pull the number one contract amendment out of the consent agenda. I have a conflict.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay. We'll put it out
after you
set.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you just can't be part of it. Of the consent agenda, but other than that, thank you. Thank you, Ernie.
We're going through all the comments that we're receiving.
Oh, good.
It's kind of interesting. So I'm color coding them. Yeah. They won't probably not be color coded when I give them.
Yeah, yeah.
With the staff. Basically, back staff takes any comment they get in writing, email, phone. They're doing tabling. And if you give them a verbal, they write down your comment. And they take down your information. And then they put it in a summary. So you guys will receive it in summary.
That's great.
What we're getting is something very interesting that I have not ever seen before. Which is, so what I did, I don't know how to put the light on this. Blue, this comment is orange, and they're opposed to it. So I responded to all of it, and I just thought it was really curious. Okay, another opposed, then we get a green one, we like it, we like the changes, then opposed. But I expected a lot. It's just a weird, let me just change the view just so you guys.